Checking mic one. Mic one.
Check, check. Two, two. This is microphone number three, or for Spanish, trace.
I tried first. Kitten heads across the land. You're waiting for the show with Chris and Graham. Comedy Film Nerds. Comedy Film Nerds Podcast.
Hello, everybody. My name is Graham Elwood, and we are here for episode 292.
Hi, it is Chris Mancini. This is the Comedy Film Nerds Podcast. We're going to be talking about a lot of films today.
We are.
We're going to talk about Bridge of Spies, Goosebumps, Steve Jobs, Finders Keepers, Green Inferno, and we have a returning guest.
Yes, has not been here in a while. Before we welcome him, I just need to say real quick, thanks to everybody. Some people came out. We were just working at the Improv at Harrah's in Las Vegas. Some fans came out. Thank you so much for coming to the shows. Had a great time in Vegas. Aside from the fact that I, you know...
Don't drink or gamble.
I don't drink or gamble. but I found some great yoga studios.
Excellent.
Courtesy of Carl, the sound guy who does yoga. One of them... I went to Blue Sky Yoga and great class, and then
you got married.
I married my yoga teacher. Yeah. Whatever, man.
Vegas.
I was all hopped up on kombucha, so that's what happens, Vegas. And somebody stole my shoes
at the yoga studio.
Yoga studio. And at first I was mad, and then I went, well, you know what? It was a donation only class, which is a cool. That's what.
Again, maybe they thought, oh, you're donating your shoes.
Yes, I was. So at first I was mad, and I thought, if a homeless person snuck in and stole my shoes while I was in class, then they need them more than I do.
And they picked yours out of everyone else's.
Well, I have nice shoes. Yeah. I don't walk around like some cloven-hoofed animal, like a savage just wraps his feet in banana leaves and runs around a jungle or whatever. I wear nice shoes that I just bought new insoles
for. How did you get from nice shoes to cloven-hoofed animal?
Very simple, yeah. Chris. I'm not an animal, so I'm gonna just scurry into some yoga class on all fours. I save that for down dog. Hello, yoga joke. So I want to thank whatever homeless person is walking around very comfortably in a pair of Adidas.
Yeah, probably able to do mountain.
Why are you
now
assuming it's a homeless person?
Well, who would steal shoes?
Maybe an alcoholic.
All right. Well,
so somebody who lost all his money and the nest egg in Vegas.
So a pre-homeless person.
Yeah, we're talking about homeless adjacent.
Okay. So my bad. I haven't been introduced, so I shouldn't be talking.
Folks, those are the sweet, sultry sounds of our guest, Mr. Wayne Fetterman.
Hey, guys. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Yeah.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm happy to be here. I'm sorry. I got that wrong.
Thanks for being here. Yeah, you're welcome. Chris and I decided to show up today.
Appreciate you showing up. It's nice.
Well, sometimes we don't.
Well, first of all, do they know what time you record this? Is this an illusion?
Well, no, I think they kind of know. So we always record typically, it's Tuesday morning at a little after 11 a.m., Tuesday, October 20th.
Right, so this is a little early for me.
Right.
I don't have kids.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, so this is, I'm not going to be maybe at the top of my game.
Come in and undersell.
I'm already. Well, you can hear my voice is already scratchy. Yeah, yeah. Is he okay?
Yeah, it's weird. Wayne Fetterman came in with a disclaimer.
Yeah, and a collared shirt.
Yeah, I know.
Someone has a big audition.
I do have an audition today.
What's it for?
Bones.
Nice.
The show Bones?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it.
No.
Oh, what you'll get about to meet David Boreanaz.
I don't know who that is.
It's a...
Isn't it? What is Bones?
All you have to do is just know every TV show right now on the network is some version of a CSI show.
Oh, okay.
That's all you
need
to know. It's a procedural drama. And you know what? You could just go in and say, this is my favorite procedural drama, and you would be right 99% of the time on an audition.
And just say,
well, I try not to lie.
Yeah.
It's one of the four agreements. I don't know if you read that book. But
Miguel Ruiz.
Yeah.
Look at that. Nice.
I'm always trying to elevate.
Are you a promise keeper, too?
No, I'm not a promise
Those
keeper.
Those guys are weirdos. Four Agreements is a good
movie. Four Agreements is excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
So what are you a doctor? Who are you?
I am the district attorney? No. Newspaper editor.
Oh.
Newspaper editor. My main... we can do the scene. I can pull it out right now. my main reporter just got killed after she exposed the NSA operation, murder operation.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, right.
For a show that hasn't shot yet.
Right. I don't know. That's all I can tell you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Folks, you got some inside scoop on Bones.
Bones.
Right? Comedy Filters episode 292.
So when the episode with the newspaper editor comes out, you'll know whether or not it's Wayne Fetterman or not.
Yeah, so if it's not Wayne, you'll know that either there was some shady politics or Wayne blew the audition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chances are.
So early in the day, we threw him off.
What is the thing? Yeah. Who's that bleary eyed guy? Oh. Not even reading the script
looks
right.
Looks like he was in some hot garage in the valley talking about movies.
First of all, this is not as hot as it was last week, so I'm feeling very lucky, right? Very it must lucky. Be terrible when it's like at that
the
level.
The last couple months have been pretty tough.
They've been pretty, yeah.
I can imagine.
As soon as you turn the air conditioner off, you can actually feel the air get hotter.
It's brutal.
So let's go into it. I really want to hear about Bridge of Spies. You were very excited to see this movie.
I was excited to see this. I will, full disclosure, I'm a huge Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm. This was a Hanksburg production.
This is a Hanksburg.
Well, this has the lineage of this movie. It's top of the heap,
these
right?
These are the guys. Every year, every couple of years, they get together and they...
No. But didn't the Coen brothers write this?
Yeah, the Coen brothers wrote it. It was... I'm going to bring up all the info on it. It was, you know... So the Coen brothers wrote it.
With some other dude, right?
With one other guy.
Who was the... not a brother, not a Coen.
No, I...
Separate.
Separate guy. And then Spielberg
Matt
directed.
Charman.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know where Matt...
The thinks. Worst. Joel and Ethan had been pulling this guy up for years.
Dead weight Charman is. That's all he is dead weight.
So, and then they get Spielberg. And, all right, so this is quite...
Yeah, it was quite... It's based on a true story. It's based on the whole, you know, of course, I love when they do order of appearance. Don't do IMDb.
I think I know what this is about. I have not seen... I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing this movie, but... this is about this spy plane that went down in Germany, right? In the 50s.
Went down in Russia. It was Gary Powers.
Gary Powers.
Yeah. So it does involve
in Russia. Why did I say Germany? Yeah. Yeah.
So it involves all that. It's all that. So that was intriguing to me because I was very familiar.
Isn't it UB-40?
Yeah.
Isn't that the name?
I believe that's the name of the plane.
I think that is. I think, and also the band, obviously.
Yeah, Red Wine.
Yes. Okay, I'm
so
sorry.
It was about reggae and ska.
I'm sorry.
So Tom Hanks plays an actor.
Did you see it in 3D?
No. They walk across the bridge in 3D. All these 3D scenes in East Berlin. Wow, really needed 3D.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, put more think pieces in 3D. So it's Tom Hanks who plays this basically an insurance attorney in New York. And he's asked to, this Russian spy gets caught in the States. And he's asked to defend him. And so the first part of the movie is really all about that trial and you know, he takes some heat for this.
So is this the first part like a courtroom drama?
It is. It is kind
of. Is he a public defender?
No. He gets pulled to do this, and that's...
By the State Department?
They ask him, like, you need to do this. And he's like, okay. And so everyone, it's kind of interesting because, like, Alan Alda plays his boss. And he's not in it very much, but there's a couple great scenes with Alan Alda. So basically, it's like, they're like, all right, just sort of perfunctory, just give him his, you know, and Tom Hanks is like, no, I'm gonna defend this guy the right way, because that's our system. That's our system,
right?
And so that's really interesting. And then he says, you know, and then Gary Powers gets shot down,
right?
So then there's the whole negotiation of trading these guys.
We have their spy.
They have ours.
But didn't also Eisenhower lie about whether there was even spy planes over Russia?
Oh, yeah.
Is all of that in there?
It's not in there in grave detail. If you know the story, which I did, you
What is the difference between grave and great detail?
Well, grave is you're going to die.
Okay.
Very more serious detail.
Okay. I've never heard that expression. I wasn't going to let it slide.
Clearly.
Sounds would like you Wayne's, have let that...
Sounds like Wayne's waking
no, that's
up.
Why, no, that's why you're an editor in Bones. You don't let those great and grave things slide.
Right, every word
for his audition.
You didn't get to that job as a fake editor on a TV show you've never watched for nothing.
Yeah, you're going to get into that audition.
God, why did I say anything? I knew there was going to be blowback. I knew there was going to be blowback. Okay, go ahead. That's all my fault. That's self-inflicted. Yeah. Right? That's self-inflicted.
But now everybody denied that they had spies and spy.
Well, that was the whole great thing about it. Is looking back from today, we know that. I mean, they did some cool stuff. They played some actual news reports. And they're, you know, the first news report is like, oh, there was a weather plane that got into some trouble, you know, like, so there's all that stuff. And then, so really what this movie is the behind the scenes, the negotiation of how to figure that out. And it's interesting because.
Weather planes that are always over a hostile country.
Yeah, yeah. Just want to see what the weather's like over
right, what's going on in Minsk today? Yeah. Is it cloudy?
Yeah.
What's the precipitation? Pressure?
Always over a military. Yeah. Just want to see. Just
curious coincidence.
So there's that. Then there's also the intrigue of East Germany is being formed. I don't really remember this, but the United States didn't recognize East Germany at first. So the negotiation has to do with the Soviets and East Germany and us and all of the particulars in there. So it's
really
intriguing. I mean, if
Berlin Wall, all that stuff.
Berlin's coming up.
Yeah, it was just starting to come up.
Right.
So,
do you remember when it went down?
Yeah, 89. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was in Berlin as a kid in the 70s. My dad had a Fulbright, and we were living in Munich, and we went to Berlin. So it meant a lot to me personally because I remember going there, seeing Checkpoint Charlie, went to the museum in West Berlin that showed all the escape attempts.
Yeah.
And then you see the gravestones by the wall of people that tried to jump and got shot. You know, like
it's for real.
It's no joke, man. Right. I have a piece of the Berlin Wall that a friend of mine got for me.
Yeah.
And so this was intriguing for me. My family lived in Berlin in 66 before I was born. And they remember the wall was only been up a couple of years at that point.
And they were on the west side, I assume.
Interesting.
What are we learning here?
They were
quote contractors.
They were, yeah. It was a grave secret.
Call back.
So that stuff, it's really intriguing. I mean, if I'm going to nitpick, there were some moments that got a little slow, but for the most part, this is a solid film. And it's if you like...
What is it tomatoing at? Like, it's like at 97 or something, right?
It's great.
But what's the driving storyline in the movie?
It's the driving storyline is Tom Hanks. This lawyer... Who was like, the rule of law and the American way is better, and I'm going to show you why. Like, I'm gonna fight tooth and nail to show you why. And then, so it's really, there's two movies. There's the court drama, and then there's just the behind-the-scenes Cold War negotiation. You know, because that was what was going on. No one wanted to have, you know, we're only 15 years after World War II. So everybody's still like, do we want to do another one of these big wars? And now there's the atomic element to it. So it's like, no one really wanted to have this actual fight, but how do we deal with this? And so it's really intriguing.
Arms race.
Yeah, the arms race. And so it was really cool, and it's based on a true story. So I found it really intriguing. It's going to be an Oscar contender, I think.
Oh, great!
You know, no, I mean, I think no question.
How can it not be?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean, unless Chartman pulls it down. You know what I mean? Or Charmin or whatever.
Charmin.
Charmin.
It's the bathroom tissue. Charmin. Yeah. Okay.
Charmin. I'm going to mispronounce it.
Scirocco? Is that what you're trying to say? All right. Well, I am so looking forward to it. I mean, I love, obviously, Spielberg.
So you were satisfied?
Yeah, I would definitely.
You were satisfied.
Cool. Yeah, I recommend seeing it. And I think you should see it in the big screen.
Oh,
not
really?
Not necessarily 3D.
Not 3D. Two-dimensional.
But no, it's, you know, it's... it's beautifully shot, and they capture sort of the tone of that era. And
that's also Spielberg is into historic.
Yeah.
I mean, he's obviously he did the 40s, and now this will be the late 50s.
Yeah. And he does a really good job with that. And then the depiction between, you know, what East Berlin looks like and all of that, sort of the chaos of that. So so that was really it's worth seeing. So check it out.
Cool. All right, well, we'll let our guest go next on Steve Jobs.
Well, I saw a screening of Steve Jobs, and full disclosure, I ghostwrote that entire movie. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Along with,
Laura Sorkin. Sorkin is getting the credit, but just so you know.
Based on the Walter Isaacson
book. Yeah.
Those were some grave details he just dropped on us.
Oh, wow.
He is... It's just so you know, it's not a factual biopic. He takes a lot of liberties. It's basically a three-act play. Each act takes place before Steve Jobs announces a product at one of these San Francisco announcing tech moments. I don't know what they are, but they reveal them. So it's the first Mac. It's the something called Next after he gets fired. I want to spoil an alert, but he gets fired from Apple, and then when he comes back with the Macintosh. Wait, it starts with the Macintosh. That's in 84, right? That's the one with the famous commercial.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's the Macintosh, he gets fired, and then Next, and then the MacBook? No, not MacBook. The blue one, whatever that one.
One of the first iPhone.
iMac.
Yeah. So this is not. There's none of the cancer. That. There's no iPhone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's none. Not. I mean, there's an allusion to iPod, but it's. So it's
mostly focusing on the computers.
So basically, it's backstage before he's getting ready, and all the people in his life. This girl that thinks he was his dad. That's involved. She's involved. The daughter who he declines paternity, I think is the actual term for that. And then obviously Wozniak, who wants credit for this thing. And then there's the head of Apple, Steve Scully, I want to say, or something Scully. And so all these characters get weaved in and out. So it's very much like a play.
Okay.
And it's, you know, Danny Boyle directed it. And it's at times just thrilling, but it's right in Sorkin's sweet spot because it's there's a clock, we have to go on at this time, there's complications, we're talking and walking, different characters coming in, it's a very talking
move. West Apple Wing.
It is like what he writes best. Right. Very few. I can't even think if there's any exterior shots. I mean, one like on top of a garage or something, but a parking garage.
Of a lot of unnecessarily complicated dialogue?
No, I just find it thrilling. If I had to nitpick, am I allowed to?
Yeah, sure.
I did write the script. I would say when he has a kid, like the daughter when she was young, in 1984, when she has to do that dialogue, it just sounds a little it's a little stilted to me, you know, because it's so fast and presentational that dialogue. But
maybe someone came in and changed your work after you had submitted it.
Yeah, I don't know. So
Sorkin, damn it!
But Sorkin is just—he's the guy. He's the man. Yeah. There's just great scenes that are thrilling.
It's an interesting...
Who's the lead in that movie? Who's that guy?
Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, Fassbender was a little ripped, was the problem. He was a little like...
Oh, right.
Magneto?
Yes, he was a little muscular for like Steve, you know, the computer geek guy.
Right. It's an interesting pairing, Danny Boyle and Aaron Sorkin, you know, together.
Well, I think Danny Boyle replaced somebody at the last minute, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But could it have been Fincher? Is it possible? Wow, I don't know. I don't know. But... It was pretty thrilling. It was pretty thrilling at times, just as like how he uses the language. It's you know, top of his game, that dude. So hats off.
So it wasn't really as much a biopic as a play that kind of focused on one specific aspect and time.
Well, it couldn't be have all these dramas happening right before each of these announcements.
Sure,
there's no way. So they he, like all of those stories get interwoven and using that as a device. So there's, I hate to say it, a ticking clock, you know, in that we have to get going. And yeah, so
I'm curious,
I feel like he expands on what would be your typical biopic.
Okay.
And I think they actually take place in real time, each of those scenes.
Okay.
So it's like 45 minutes or 30 minutes before this announcement, this has to happen.
All right.
28 minutes. And then I believe it's in basically in real, but not one shot.
So let me.
What is that? What was that movie, Birdman?
Right.
There's more to that title, but I can never remember it. But Unexpected Virtue of Something.
Of Ignorance.
Yeah. Oh, there we go, the two of us.
it took two of us to do one title. It's a crazy movie.
Movie buffs. We're crazy movie buffs here.
Now, since you're pretty good at predicting like trends in movies.
I'm not.
I kind of think you give yourself a little more credit.
I don't know why you're saying that.
How many Steve Jobs movies do you think we'll have?
This is already the second one now. There was the Ashton Kutcher one from a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I also saw that one as well. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but this is.
Have you seen the documentary, The Man and the Machine?
No, I heard that was great. Is that Alex Gibney?
Yeah. Alex Gibney did that. I heard that is fantastic because that shows like, wow, Steve Jobs and Apple were not nice.
Yeah.
They were mean.
So that's technically three movies.
And there was one years ago, like a TV movie or something.
There was one with Noah Wiley and about him and Bill Gates
from
Microsoft.
Yep.
I can't remember who played Bill Gates, but yeah, it was a TV movie.
It was
the guy from The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why are we Judd Nelson?
No.
The blonde kid. Why are we blind as the kid? It was in all those, he was in 16
Weird
Candles.
Science.
Come on. God damn it. This is driving me absolutely crazy.
But that was an interesting...
Anthony Michael Hall.
That was an interesting one, that TV one, because it showed like how they were friends and how it so went sour, that friendship. And also to the point where... I love there was a couple scenes where every time Steve Jobs would get mad at Bill Gates, like for you're stealing, what's this Windows thing? You're stealing my operating system and all that stuff. He would like explain it and then calm Steve Jobs down. Like every single time, like because he was still counting on that friendship. I'm like, well, he might be stealing your work, but he has such a way about him that, he just continues to do it. So
by the way, Rogan was excellent as Wozniak.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he did a really, really good job. Although he kept having the same argument, which was like, please, can you just give credit to the Apple II designers? And Steve Jobs won't. if I may quote one line, because all he's saying is like, you have this big thing. Just this is the product that kept Apple alive so you could do all of these things. He's like, I can't. This is a launch. This isn't a luncheon. This is a product launch. This isn't a luncheon.
Wow.
Like, he's just like, it's just great. Just so there was that level of like
That's
back and
awesome.
Forth. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what is the word you use? Recommend? Yeah. No.
You can say whatever.
Yeah. What was the word you used? It was a different word than that.
Work it.
Yeah, hashtag work it.
It wasn't work it.
I don't know. Go see it.
I thought you said something else. All right. So I would say, I would say definitely recommend.
And we're in Oscar season. Do you think Fassbender and everybody is?
I'm bad at predicting, despite what Chris thinks. But yeah, I thought that performance was, I mean, it's a showcase. He's in virtually every scene, right? I think he is.
Yeah. That's
and
excellent.
And it's like, it's very much like a play. And it's shot, here is a little interesting tidbit for you film nerds, not comedy necessarily. Is that all right? Can I talk to just the film nerd part of your audience?
Which is all of them, but go ahead.
Okay. I believe the 1984 shot scene, the first part of the first third of that movie was shot on 16mm. And then the next one was, I believe, shot on 35, and then like the red or
shot for the last scene.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
I believe it's three different formats shot.
Oh, that's cool.
That's the kind of stuff I just love. I like Danny Boyle.
Oh, how about you like Wayne Fetterman to come in with those facts?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
You're just stealing it.
You wouldn't even have known about it.
You're just Bill Gates saying that.
I love that me being called Bill Gates is somehow an insult.
Yeah,
you're like a Bill Gates.
Successful billions of dollars in charity.
Yeah, just philanthropist.
You're just like a Bill Gates over there.
Dare you.
You're just the Michael Jordan of guests.
Yeah, making all your employees rich with stock options. How dare you?
Well, cool. All right, I'm excited to see this. So what did you see?
With the entire family, we saw Goosebumps. And I will say, I went into this movie with a bit of trepidation, thinking it was going to be just kind of like a money grab kind of thing. And you know what? It was good. It was a really good family movie.
Jack Bill Black's Goosebumps is good.
Yes.
Chris Mancini is
It is hard to believe. It is a really good family film. Because
your hand on the Comedy Film Nerd Guide to Movies.
I swear to God. And the reason...
And you're friends with Jack Black, right?
Yeah, I know Jack. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen him in many years, but... here's a small piece of trivia. When they did the HBO series with Tenacious D, you can see me in the background in one of the bar scenes drinking a beer.
I'm in a Jack Black movie project.
But
director that did Gulliver's Travels.
Yes, and here's the thing that made it good. First of all, what it did was it's a very sanitized kids horror movie. It's got monsters, action, scares, great special effects.
But no gore, obviously.
And no gore. And it was a very specific thing. Like there's peril, like a werewolf is chasing them, you know, through the supermarket or whatever, scratching the walls and stuff. But no one, you never see their zombies chasing them through a cemetery. You don't see anyone get eaten, disemboweled, or anything, anybody actually hurt. So it really... It knew where the line was, and it straddled it. And one of the things that really made me laugh was because Jack Black plays R.L. Stine, the writer for Goosebumps.
Right.
And there's a lot of jokes about R.L. Stine. The thing I really loved about it is Jack Black plays a curmudgeonly recluse, which is what a lot of writers really are. So, and I really think Jack Black nailed it because I think he kind of wants to be that too. Like he wants to be left alone. It was a really funny performance. Like he looked annoyed all the time at the kids, everything. And it was great. And it was like one of those roles where you see him in that actually you can't see anyone else playing that part. It was like a family friendly but he played the role really well. And they do these inside jokes like, how many books do you think R.L. Stine has sold just worldwide?
I'm going to take a gander.
Go ahead.
It's got to be 18 or 19,000.
It's a little higher.
No, I know it's in the millions.
It's a crazy amount.
Is it over 50 million?
400
million. 400 million.
400 million books.
Right, right.
I was going to say... 401.
Yeah.
Oh. You would have gone over, so you wouldn't have. So I would have won.
They start
with my 18,000 bid.
Name that book scan.
So, too bad. Sorry.
So they start hitting the notes like he doesn't want to admit, like R.L. Stine has disappeared, doesn't want to admit that he is. So the kids are trying to get him to admit who he is. And one of the kids goes, well, R.L. Stine's kind of a hack. He's no Stephen King. And he turns around and that's what gets him. He's like, Stephen King wishes he was the writer like me. I've sold more books than him and no one ever talks about that. So it goes off and you could see they were just having fun. Like here's the biggest difference between this movie and Pan. The people making this movie gave a shit. You could actually see it was crafted to the point it was made to be what it was. Uh-huh. A family-friendly horror movie.
Can I ask just about the screening?
Because absolutely.
Curious. So you went with your family?
Yes.
During the day, I'm going to assume.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Was it packed?
Early evening.
Oh, early. Yeah, it packed with other families?
It was packed with other families. It wasn't the kind of movie that, like a Pixar movie where you see, you know, couples or other people that go to see it anyway.
Family.
This was 100% family movie. Like, right. I don't know if the hipsters went at 10 at night. I don't know, but I'm going
to
assume
no. Would the hipsters go to this?
Yeah.
I think maybe, because they grew up with that.
Right. So that could be. There could be a nostalgia factor. I don't think anyone's going to see it that either doesn't have kids or doesn't have that nostalgia factor.
Do kids stand up on the chairs? How's it all still work now? I just remember going as a kid going to movies. Just there's sort of a ruckus that's always going on.
Yeah, the
is that still the case? There's like a low level rumble.
Not for
something,
this film. This was
kids.
More the kids were kind of watching it.
Okay,
and they were very engaged. And one of the things was too that it was always something kind of going on. There was an action. There was a new monster. There was all these crazy things going on.
Okay, here's another crazy question for you. Do you remember any of the trailers they showed? Because usually they target those trailers because I'm wondering, what other kids' movies are coming out? Never mind. I'll withdraw the question.
Oh, yeah. No, I do now. I remember there was one that was, because I remember it was inappropriate.
Oh, really?
There was one like a, everyone's trying to capitalize on Hunger Games now.
Right.
So now there's this movie, The Fifth Wave, which is pretty much the exact setup except with an alien invasion. But it looked more like, you know, crazy, apocalyptic, like big special effects.
Right.
Like, you know, and... whenever it comes, this movie has not yet been rated. This is going to be most likely PG-13.
What's this?
Wow, that actually wasn't my phone.
Wow.
This is not me. This is not me. I'm on airplane mode.
Oh, my God. My phone
ran through
my computer.
Mm-hmm. How's that pop? What's happening? Is that Steve Jobs calling?
That's iOS 9.
That's Steve Jobs calling from beyond the grave.
Yes, because we're talking about the movie.
All right. So how do I turn that off?
Somebody will email us. And tell us.
I'm just putting it on airplane mode.
The thing is, even if you're in a helicopter, you can use it like that.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Glider.
Yeah, we got glider.
Hot air balloon.
Zeppelin, anything.
Zeppelin, yeah.
Right, there's so many Zeppelins around. Everyone's going on those now.
That'd be funny if the little icon changed to a Zeppelin when you flip it.
Oh, it knows whatever
Interesting.
So anyway, I went into this movie, like I said, with trepidations, but it was a good family film. I would recommend it if, A, you have a family, or, B, you kind of grew up on it, because it was the kind of movie, too, where it was good to see Jack Black kind of do a role that he was fit for. Like, you know, you look at Gulliver's Travels and like, really? Is this a payday movie? But this one really felt like...
Or that Tenacious D movie?
Yeah.
Is he right for that? Did they cast it?
I don't know.
I don't think a lot of people might disagree with that movie. But it was the kind of movie that it was good to see. It was, you know, filmmakers that gave a shit. There was a lot of really funny people in it. There was a lot of improv actors in it, and they all had some really funny scenes, and you could tell they went off script and they were allowed to.
How good.
This
sounds great the way you're describing it.
It was like, you know, two cops that just come to the door and they're like, have no, you know, they're small town cops. One of the cops goes, "You're under arrest," and the other cop's like, "You know, I keep that enthusiasm, but you know, we're not there yet." That kind of cool, you know, you could tell they're improv actors, and but it was fun. It wasn't too long. It was, you know, good monsters. It was a good family movie slash sort of horror movie.
All right,
without any gore.
So Goosebumps.
Scares.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Goosebumps.
I was too old.
I don't know.
I've been introduced to the franchise through my children, so I never read it either.
All right, what do we got next?
Why don't we go back to Wayne with an actual horror movie? Let's talk about Green Inferno.
Yeah, same plot as Goosebumps.
Yeah,
beat for beat. Jack Black in another incredible role. Well, this is, I don't know. I met this guy a number of times. Eli Roth. I met him a number of times. He's actually a good actor. He's in a Tarantino movie, right?
Yes, he's in Inglourious Basterds.
Yes, So he plays the crazy Jew, right, with the baseball bat. Isn't that him?
I think that is him.
Yeah. So this is a movie. It's a kind of an interesting premise. It's about some do-gooders who go down to the Amazon to stop the deforestation.
Right.
On the way back, their plane crashes and are rescued by cannibals.
Now, you know,
We talked about this before. I love that premise. I think it's so hilarious.
But now, as soon as you see Eli Roth in any credit in the film,
you know
it's going to be very difficult to watch.
Because like,
there's a ton of torture porn, kind of like really graphic stuff.
Right, because I saw the Cabin in the Woods. Stuff. I've seen a number of his movies.
Cabin Fever. Yeah.
What's the cabin in the woods?
That's Josh Whedon,
right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It was a cabin.
It's still a cabin.
Is it in the woods?
Yeah. And there's a fever.
It can be.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. Cabin Fever. I'm sorry. So it was extremely gory.
What?
Needless to say. Yes. Needless to say. And the opposite of Goosebumps in that it was on the other side of that line.
It showed everything.
Like all of those things, disembowelment and all of that showed it graphically. Obviously, cooking and eating people.
Jesus.
Nothing was left to the imagination.
Yeah, because it seemed like some of the cannibals would just eat, and others would like cook it. Like,
well, there's a hierarchy in cannibal culture.
Yeah, and
etiquette.
Yeah, so it's extremely graphic, extremely graphic, and as always, you're like, who is going to escape? Who, right. You know, who and how right. are they going to escape? So that's the you know, that's the compelling narrative of the movie.
Crash, eat, and run away.
Right. So it's, again, they've stopped these the evil corporation from deforestation down there, get on their little plane, they're celebrating, they're smoking pot, they're having a good time, plane goes down.
Do you think their iPhones were in airplane mode at that moment?
No, that's a good question. That's a good question. That's a good question. But it is like the level of specificity with eyeballs being taken and all of that, I don't want to get too graphic, is it's pretty right. remarkable. Pretty
so you
remarkable.
Have to want to like because
you have to like that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and you know, going into an Eli.
What did you say?
If you're squeamish, then no, not for you.
Because you know, going into his film, like, and in fact, his fans almost like demand it though when they see his name on it. It's like.
So the movie that Wayne you're just talking about and Chris you just said, so you just talk about two movies that I personally would never have any reason to ever
right.
see.
Right. Because you don't like horror movies.
Not that kind of thing. Right.
Give me an example of a horror movie you like. Okay.
Yeah.
What about Halloween? Do you remember that one? Could you handle that?
I could probably.
But barely. Oh, that's interesting. You're sensitive little child. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. You're not desensitized. Yeah. That's pretty good.
I'm highly sensitive. Yeah,
yeah, that's nice.
You're highly sensitized?
Highly sensitized. I'm gravely sensitized.
Yeah. You're gravely sensitive. I think that's sweet. I know that sounds like I'm kind of... It's condescending the way I said it. That was the wrong word. But I actually admire that.
Yes.
I do.
What he meant to say is you're gravely sweet.
Yeah. Sort of pat, you know, oh, that's good for you, Graham. That's cute.
No, it's not.
Juice box when you watch the scary movies.
Here's the scarf to tie around your eyes.
Bloody weird. All right. Well, let's.
Are we going to move on?
I think we're going to move on. We're going to go to. We have a sponsor. This is Touch of Modern, and like I said, we love that sponsor because it changes every week what you can get. However, there are some absolutes. No matter how often it changes, you'll still be able to get a survival knife. Some cool artwork.
When are you going to buy a survival knife?
You know what? When the right one shows up. I don't know. I'm a very careful. I'm very careful about which survival knives I like.
There's a pair of wooden brass knuckles on
that
there.
That are TSA approved. I looked at those.
Oh, God.
I don't know how that happened.
There's some sexy lingerie.
Yes.
So there you go.
Now, here's the one thing that is very practical that I think I will end up getting is they have a solar charging kit where it's like a flashlight, something for your bike, and then it's also like a headlamp for safety.
For if you're in a coal mine?
For in a coal mine, exactly. Yep. But what I loved about it is that not only do they charge solar through the sun, but they actually can charge your other devices. They have USB ports. So you could charge the flashlight with the sun or with interior light, and then you could charge another device from that.
Oh, well, I think that's sort of I've been looking actually for some new.
There it is.
This one, solar. Yeah. Because I've been looking at like getting either a solar powered, like, this is all this cool solar stuff.
Yeah, yeah. They have different kits where if you just want the flashlight or if you want like the whole kit. And then there's like a some kind of racing car that I didn't click on. There's, if you go back, it's right next to the solar lights in the main, but I don't know. Let's just see how much that was.
That's the thing I've been looking for. I've been looking
for a racing car.
I've been looking for just a solar battery pack that I can just take anywhere and can charge any device.
There it is.
This?
Yeah, what is that?
A back mono single seat racer for $215,000. It's on sale. Normally $225,000.
It is a racing car. It's a racing car.
Holy shit.
Give me that price again.
$215,000. Now, normally...
Marked down.
See, everything Touch of Modern's on sale, Wayne. Normally, it's $225,000. I love this place. It's got solar-powered flashlights for $30-$40, and then a $200-and-some-thousand-dollar racing car.
Anybody who buys either one of those items, tweet the picture for us.
If you got that kind of money, you should buy this car.
You and buy then, Touch of Modern.
Yeah, and then maybe give us a couple hundred grand to finance our next film.
So touchofmodern.com.
Get a racing car. Get a discounted
car. Yeah.
I wouldn't even would know what a racing car would cost,
you
first
would
of all.
You get to auditions faster, Wayne.
Think about it.
But you that's could, not for that's not street legal, is it? No.
For $215,000, it better be.
$215,000, yeah, better be. Oh, it is. It is street legal. Yeah. It's a single-seat track car, but it does have a license plate. This is awesome. I love this site. They have
I got to go.
You got to go buy it. You got to go buy it.
So it's touchofmodern.com. There's no membership fees. You just sign up, and then you get the new deals every single day. And they change. I think they change week to week. Like, if it's just something you like a race car, it may not
First
be there
week
next
I've
week.
I've seen a race car on here. But they also got cool stuff. They got all the men's apparel stuff.
Cool watches and ties.
I bought
accessories.
Some shoes from these guys. Mm-hmm. I'm going to buy some solar stuff.
Are those the ones that got stolen?
No. My brown mid shoes were not stolen. I had a sports shoe that was stolen. So.
The Adidas?
The Adidas were stolen. So the Touch of Modern shoes are still in play.
Excellent. All right, don't go to yoga with them.
Don't. I'm going barefoot.
Yeah.
Like a true hippie yogi.
So touchofmodern.com. And now, Wayne, we want to talk to you about your new CD, the Chronicles of Fetterman.
The Chronicles of Fetterman. It's my debut CD. Never put out a CD.
You've been a comic for 30 years?
Over 30 years.
And you've never done a CD?
Never put out a CD.
Why? First of all, why is that?
Well, at the beginning, I kind of thought there was going to be like a record company was going to come up to me and go, hey, we're from Warner Brothers Records. We'd like to put out a CD. We've been seeing your sets.
Right.
That never happened. Then I did a half-hour special on Comedy Central. They have something called Comedy Central Records. I thought they're going to come to me and go, we're just going to release this as a...
Right. They never did that.
They never did that. So then I was like, should I put out my own CD? Because a lot of comedians very successfully put out their own CD. And I was like,
so 15 years later, you made that decision.
I'm very slow with doing things.
So every 10 years, you would have this discussion with yourself.
Exactly right. So finally, I just said, I had this kind of an epiphany because I had these recordings. Back in 1984, the comic strip put in a videotaping device at the club. That was the club I started at in New York City. And so I had some of those early recordings, and they're not bad. And I never in a million years thought of stripping out the audio and making it an audio CD.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was just a lot of fun material that I've done through the years. And then I went to AST Records, which is a special thing, and I just pitched the idea. And they were like, we've never done anything like this. This could be a debacle. This could go flaming off the side of the road, but we want to try it.
I think it's great, and that's the thing too. Like Matt Belknap and Ryan McMiniman who do AST. That's why I love it, because they're just those guys are fans of comedy. Matt Belknap started as a guy that was just writing on posts about
message boards
about.
Did he start that website?
Yeah.
He started that website and was just on message boards, and nobody knew who he was. This is back in the M Bar, doing shows.
Right,
just a fan.
He was just a fan, and I remember doing a show at the M Bar and like calling him out. Because I was...
Oh, you knew who he was?
No, I didn't know. I did not know who he was. And I was like, show yourself, Belknap!
Oh, really?
Yeah, or show whatever he was calling himself online. And because all these comics were like, man, he really knows what he's talking about. And I was like, show yourself! You know? And then he came out, and now they've started this awesome business. And the thing I like about them is because they're such fans of comedy, they're so open to doing this kind of thing. Like, they produced my last album, Palm Strike Dance Party. And I remember you and I had a conversation a couple years ago. You came to me at PodFest, and you were thinking about, oh, I'm trying to do an album.
Yeah.
And I was telling you, I was like, well, these guys are great because...
Yes, it's one of the reasons I went with them.
Yeah, they're open to do anything. And this is so unique because it's like, I want to listen, because I see the photo
here. There's three CDs. Three CDs.
The photo of you... From the 80s, with a ukulele and a sweater and a collared shirt and a well-groomed head of hair.
Yeah,
just, that I can't wait to see.
Now, what does a set like this go for, Wayne? This is a premium box set.
It's a premium, but it's $14.
What?
Yeah, that is a deal.
You are insane.
No. It's not like we had to produce an album. It was just me combing through the Fetterman archives. And then I had to do this thing called audio restore, because when I first gave them there, they're like, "We can't. This is not broadcast quality. Right. We can't put this up on iTunes." I said, "Well, there's been a kind of a revolution in restoring old audio, and there's a company. It costs a lot of money. I'm not going to obviously make any money on this, just based on what I've put into it, but called RX." And so I was able to really clean up that audio. And clean up stand-up is really difficult because there's so many sound elements. It's not just like,
sure,
oh, I'm doing a voiceover or I'm doing a narration and there's a phone in the background. That's easy. But this is, there's the sound of the room, the sound of me, the sound of right. the audience, the sound of the waitresses, the clinking of the glass. There's so many elements in the design.
You get a heckler, you know.
Whatever.
They get recorded.
Yeah, everything gets recorded.
And then the third album is the most current.
It was right up to 2015.
When did you record that? Again,
these are from different recordings from different times, but the last one is from January. I mean, it's not in exact chronological order because I end with this show I do in Israel in 2014, but some of the earlier bits on the third one are from January 2015 in Walnut Creek when I was doing a benefit up there.
So great,
yeah,
man.
So it's just like, so I have so many sources. I have Judd wrote the liner notes.
Judd Apatow.
Yeah, yeah. I have so many sources, like from VHS, and then old, like, I was on MTV Half Hour Comedy Hour. You might have seen me on that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I have that old tape, and I was able to strip out the audio and do my famous my famous Rockin' with Dokken routine. By famous, no one's ever heard of it, but I'm saying in my mind, it was famous.
When you told me about this at PodFest, and I thought, well, this is such a cool idea, because I was in college.
Yeah.
And that's when I started doing stand-up. I was a freshman in college at the University of Arizona and would watch MTV Half Hour Comedy Hour and all this stuff. And I remember my roommate, Pete DeMartini, and a couple other guys did some open mics with me, and then they stopped doing it. One of the jokes was the... you talked about you went skiing, and there's like, there is a Jew on the hill. There's like, I love that joke.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah. That's the skiing routine. That's in volume one.
That's so cool to me. I remember that was one of the coolest things of when I came to L.A. was all these comics I'd already been doing stand-up that I'd seen on TV, where I was like, oh my God, that I remember that guy. Remember MTV's Half Hour Comedy Hour was like, I watched that religiously. I remember watching Alan Havey's show.
Yeah,
up all night. I remember watching, and then all the comics that were on Alan King's show, Inside the Comedy Mind.
After A&E Evening at the Improv did very well, everyone was scrambling to get their own comedy show to cash in. I'm like, MTV was like, well, we could do one too. And
Stand Up Spotlight, and there was Showtime had a couple of them, Fox Comic Strip Live or something like that. Yeah.
That, by the way, that will never happen again. That boom of comedy on television time.
Right. They just thought it was cheap programming, and it was. Mm-hmm. It was.
It's absolutely cheap programming.
Yeah, so some of those shows that are no longer on the air, I stripped out the audio and took specific bits from there. So that's it's just a career. It's basically
that's a
career.
Cool.
Thank you,
man.
It's funny that you should mention Evening at the Improv, because I remember I talked to Greg Giraldo once. Do you remember him?
Yes. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Just a great, brilliant comedian. And he said to me, he goes, you know, when I was thinking about going to comedy, I would watch like that Richard Pryor film, and I would watch Carlin. I was like, I can't do, why am I even thinking about doing it? He goes, but then I would watch Evening at the Improv. I'm like, okay, I'm as funny as these guys. And I'm always thought, I wondered if I'm that guy. You know what I mean? I'm the guy that inspired Greg Giraldo to go into stand-up. He's like, oh, I'm as funny as Wayne Fetterman. Kidding me? What is this bit he's doing about dodgeball? I think I can do more. So I'm taking credit for Giraldo's career.
Good for you. Well, yeah, cool. The Chronicles of Fetterman's available at AST.
Or iTunes or Amazon or Spotify.
I think we're
going to
get some copies of this and sell it on iTunes.
Yeah, we should.
Really?
Okay, yeah. Will you come over and sign a bunch?
100%.
Of course.
All right.
100%.
All right. We'll do it. We'll get
them up
in the store.
So look for it, guys, in the next couple of weeks.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, go buy it wherever. And then if you want, we're going to get some autographed
copies. Special versions. Yeah. Special autographed versions.
Autographed copies here at Comedy Filbirds. All right, so let's get into...
The DVDs. Jurassic World. Now, this movie split a lot of people, and I find it fascinating, like, a movie like this splits people. Like it's because it, like you always think of like a movie that's really controversial or really edgy or something, and then you think, well, Jurassic World, why is that splitting people so much?
I think I know why.
Yeah,
why? Because people have a very strong attachment and affection for that first Jurassic Park movie.
Oh, right. So they either went, oh, I'm so glad they're making it again and doing more fun, or they ruined this thing from my childhood. Well,
yeah, it's not, no kids are divided over this movie. Right.
True.
Yeah,
no kids are like, oh, I love it. Like, yeah, it's fine for them, but
This is the movie I saw, and
I saw it.
I had a blast.
Yeah, I had fun at this one too. And I went in, and I went.
You did.
I did, and it was actually one of the few films where I was like, "You should see it in 3D because there's scenes where the dinosaurs came out of the screen into my, and I like, I jumped out of my chair. But now we know I'm sensitive.
Yeah. Right, of course. Of course, you won't see The Wizard of Oz. I get it.
It's weird.
I get the monkeys. I understand. They creep you out.
The monkey and their legs are under that.
Yeah.
I can't. That's
she melting? What is this? Oh!
Don't even mention it, Wayne. Come on.
Spoiler.
We have to start over this.
So it's a fun popcorn-y type movie. Don't look for any kind of logic or seriousness. My favorite is Vincent D'Onofrio's militarize everything character.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, we gotta militarize this. We gotta weaponize this. We gotta, like, you could tell, like, if they brought him lunch, like, I'm gonna weaponize that sandwich. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. We always talk about this. Jurassic Park movies are the same.
Yeah.
We got the dinosaurs. Aren't they neat? They get out. They start killing people.
There's only one plot of any movie. You know, the dinosaurs are there. They're in their own cages. Then they're going to start getting out and eating people. That's the only place you can go with a Jurassic Park movie.
And that's what happens. And the way they run around and eat people is great.
Right.
Now, I'm old enough to remember, and they're rebooting it. This is just, there was a movie that Michael Crichton wrote, I think, the book of. Same plot called Westworld.
Of course. Yes.
Same exact idea. Amusement park. Nothing can go wrong.
Yep. Neil Brenner starts shooting people.
Yeah, they say he's the dinosaur, basically. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Same thing. And now aren't they redoing Westworld?
Oh, yeah. As a TV show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's on HBO, I think. HBO or Showtime. Yeah,
that's going to be gonna it's going to be intense.
Show. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because it'll be good.
Well,
but it is the same plot when you break down, like, hey, we're going, this will be fun.
Yeah, it's just the robots go crazy instead of the dinosaurs. But What I loved about, like, if you ever read the book, like, Westworld was just, like, one of the different worlds you could go into this amusement park.
Right,
it was,
right.
Like, a Roman world. So you have literally all these different parks and worlds you could go into for the robots to go crazy.
I remember one of the wenches in the movie. That's, like, would that be the, like...
In the actual Westworld.
No. I'm thinking of, like...
The Roman world?
Yeah, where they're eating grapes. Is that Rome?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how I know Rome.
Yeah, and there's pool.
Yeah, there's a guy. There's a gluttonous guy. There's a thing. But one of the, like, she's serving, and he, like, tries to make a move, and she slaps him. And I guess that's not supposed to happen.
Yeah, you got
to
check the programming.
Yes. This is the 70s. Was the first hint that something.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
What's a miss?
Be careful how you eat your grapes.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm unclear what the message was.
And that was such a funny scene when you look back at it too. It was like a female robot slaps a guy because she doesn't want him touching him, and then there must be something wrong with that robot. That's like the takeaway. Yeah.
Well, it was designed to get sexual attention.
Yeah.
Like women, just designed like a woman. So, am I saying something wrong? Wait, what?
So, okay.
Chronicles of Fetterman Band.
I think in the hands of like a pay channel, I think I think it could be really interesting.
Yeah. Oh, well. It's going to be good.
I think it's HBO, might be Showtime, but I'm pretty sure it's HBO.
Okay, sorry I brought that up, but I just thought it was an interesting.
But yeah, no, it's good. Curious. And there was a sequel too that was unwatchable. There was a like Future World, the movie.
Oh.
If you ever watched that, it like made no sense. It was awful. But especially when it first came out, when the book was written, it was like really like it was like Planet of the Apes. It was like you can't look at it with contemporary glasses. Like when it came out at the time, it was mind-blowing.
You're talking about Westworld.
Westworld, yeah. So it was And there was like a couple things I remember in the movie that they kind of skipped over. Like there were all these safety measures. Like in the book, it goes into all these details the way Jurassic Park did. Like how could things go wrong? The safety measures, the robots, the guns won't fire and all this stuff. And then the robots figure out how to disable all the safety features before they start killing everyone.
Oh,
it's great.
So we have backup systems for backup systems.
Yeah, exactly. It's all that conceit of like nothing can go wrong because we've spent all this money on making sure this technology is quite up to date.
But still people die. Yes,
yeah. And still people can steal your information through Internet Explorer.
No, so I guess we're not really talking about whether you should or should not see Jurassic World. Just check out this new Westworld.
That's but yeah, check out Jurassic Park if you missed it in the theater. It is a fun time.
Jurassic World.
Jurassic World and Jurassic Park. Check that out.
Oh, yes, Jerry. You don't want to miss Jurassic Park.
Paper Towns. You saw this movie.
I saw this. You know, if you missed it in the theater, it's okay. It's a little bit of a letdown. I was really hoping for it to be as powerful as The Fault in Our Stars because it's based on the book by the same author.
Yes.
Yep.
It's decent. So it's actually not a bad
DVD. Is it a
DVD.
Teen?
Yeah, it's a teen.
Is this
thing.
One that's kind of a mix of like a drama and thriller where there's like a mystery?
Yeah, but it's all
the girl disappears.
It's a little more of a thriller, but it's a kind of a teen coming of age comedy a little bit. So that's part of its problem. It's a little all over the map.
Doesn't know what it wants to be.
But if you're like just want to have a movie to
if
watch.
You're a sensitive teen.
You're a sensitive teen who cries a lot.
We're learning a lot.
Then I would, you know, this DVD, if you've got nothing to do and you just want a decent DVD to watch, this is okay.
Oh,
this
cool.
Is, right. Is there any origami involved?
Is there?
I literally Do they make thought, a paper towel?
I literally thought that's what the, I didn't know what.
Yeah, it's a whole, it's a class of origami students that
yes,
go missing.
Yes, they make a town.
And they make, it, they make a town.
And then they live in it.
Sure. And then the origami start learning and they start killing people and it's like Westworld
paper. Very advanced paper.
All right.
Okay, so Site Spotlight and Fan Feedback. Tyler Smith's 10 movies to get you into the Halloween holiday spirit is now on the site. So
nice.
He goes through 10 movies that you may have missed. Some of them are a little
new writer
obscure,
for us, Tyler Smith.
Yeah, Tyler Smith from Battleship Pretension, who will be on the show next week. And also, I just jumped right to the new Star Wars trailer. That's on our Facebook fan page. If you haven't seen it already, chances are you have. But if you haven't, check it out. We put a link on the Facebook fan
page. The news this morning was like Star Wars crashes the internet. Like last night, it played on Monday Night Football, and then the tickets went on sale. And like everything crashed. Like this, the whole weekend sold out in like an hour, 4 hours or something like that.
Fans are furious that the actual ticket sites crashed and they couldn't buy tickets.
Yeah.
You know, that's that is the true mark of success. People are angry they can't give you money.
I know. And you prepare that, you know, they prepared and prepared and prepared and we had all the bandwidth.
You got to make sure you have more servers.
Still,
it crashed. Doesn't matter. Maybe they were on GoDaddy.
I can't wait. I cannot wait.
I'm fired up for it. Right. I got tickets in LA as a backup in case the Australia thing doesn't happen because I'm going to see this movie. We're still trying to make it work with Australia. We're working on it.
All right.
Well, you're going to be in Australia when it opens. You're planning to.
We're hoping to.
Okay. Yeah,
because it opens in Australia a day early, and Australia is 17 hours ahead of us, so we can see it and then do a spoiler rep way ahead of
you guys. I love it. It's like the SEAL Team 6.
Yeah.
This right. is very impressive.
Extraction.
Yeah. So that's where we are. We are the SEAL Team 6 of film podcasts. All right. Let's
premiering this week. Steve Jobs, although you've already heard a review now. How about that?
I'm going to go see it.
You are good.
Because of Mr.
Let me know. Wayne's review. Let me know. Again, it's not an accurate... Mm-hmm. It's symbolic in ways.
It's symbolic.
You do learn all about the guy.
You learn
through
all about
those.
The guy, and I'm guessing you're also going to see an amazing performance. By
amazing.
Michael.
Yeah. Yeah. He, especially cool. him. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Paranormal Activity: The Ghost Dimension. In theory, supposedly, this is going to be the last Paranormal Activity movie. I don't know if that will be true or not. I couldn't even tell you how many have been made. I did see the first two. I will say the first one in the movies was a really fun time. That was like watching an old school horror movie. Packed house, scares, jumps, people in the theater all hooting and hollering and yelling because it was genuinely scary. And one of the reasons is because you didn't see a lot of stuff. And when you actually did see stuff, it was terrifying. So I think it's so at this point now, like, what else can you do with a Paranormal Activity movie? And also, it was really based on demons, so now we're going to ghosts. So I guess kind of similar in the minds of the studio.
So Paranormal Activity, so, Ghost Protocol.
Ghost Protocol, yes. It may as well be. Right. Next movie, Gem and the Holograms. We reviewed the trailer for Podfest. And,
this looks ridiculous.
I can't... It's one of those movies that, you know, it just... I said this in the Podfest episode. You watch this and you realize that the art of movie making is now obsolete for humans. You know, there's no human being is making that movie. You know, that was clearly made by a marketing robot. And you like, is it like even the trailer hits all those beats that you think is going to get, you know, young girls into the theater. Every scene is contrived. Every line of dialogue is ridiculous.
I already have tickets for opening.
Yeah.
Well, the website crashed when they
Gem and the Holograms. So, you know,
I'm actually going to New Zealand to see it the day before.
So I think there might be, I don't know, Gem and the Holograms, I guess there'll be a nostalgia factor, people will go see it, but I can't imagine this one going, blowing off the gates of the box office. It's
whatever.
The Last Witch Hunter.
No, we did this trailer, we showed you the trailer that was in German at PodFest.
Yes. Which is and
which
I think
so great.
The only thing that's Last Witch Hunter might do is beat Gem and the Holograms for the box office.
I guess.
I think the two big movies are going to be Steve Jobs. I think Paranormal Activity, people still go see those movies. I think those will be the top two this weekend. And then Burnt, which is the new Bradley Cooper movie about a chef who is an addict and then dries out and tries to bring his restaurant back on
this
track.
This looks so dumb. I can't
even... Wait, what's this about again? It's about a
chef who is an addict and then tries to turn his life around by making sure he gets a good review for his restaurant. There is already a review on Comedy Film Nerds from CJ Johnson. So you can check it out now if you're curious.
The thing. In the trailer, he's like, I'm coming to Paris and I'm doing it. And it's all this like, we got to get it right. And he, you know, throws stuff in the kitchen. And someone says, this is Paris. You take you up in the new restaurant, they will kill you. No, they won't. It's a goddamn restaurant. Nobody gives a shit. Like, goddamn it, this looks dumb. Like, I can't even. It's just fucking food, man. Like, no one.
That's not true. People are. There's a lot of food movies.
There's there. It is super competitive,
like
especially
water for chocolate. You ever see that thing?
Yeah. Was it life and death like water?
No. But I'm just saying, people are into it.
I'm all for them.
What was the one that was just last year about the food truck with the
chef?
Yeah.
Good movie.
Yeah.
But it wasn't life or death. That's just my point.
Like, I see. They're raising the stakes too much.
They're making it seem like. It's, you know, American Sniper.
Somebody's going to kill him if he doesn't succeed in this.
If you don't make the right souffle, you will die. No.
And it hits all those beats of like, well, what's the restaurant capital of the world? Paris. Right. All right, well, if you can make, you got to make it there. Otherwise, you've failed and you're like, an American.
Why is Bradley Cooper like this? Ashton Kutcher should be doing this movie.
Oh, wait, Bradley Cooper's in this?
Yes.
No, he's the star. Yeah.
That's what's so disconcerting about it is you're like, well, he's a really good actor that does amazing movies.
I think he is a really good actor.
Why is he doing this? This just sounds...
Well, you know, maybe this one will surprise you.
I bet there's something else into it. Bet there's something else.
Okay.
So check out CJ's review. It might surprise you as well.
Maybe he has a romance with a sex addict who's living back at her parents' house.
All right.
And can also cook.
But nobody's life is on the line to open a restaurant, guys. There's no, unless you're using mob money to open it, because it's not a thing.
Not life or death.
Watch Spinning Plates, which is a fun documentary about restaurants. Go watch Chef, as you said, but this is not.
And that actually did have life or death stakes in it. Spinning Plates did.
Right, because a restaurant was a middle class family was like needed to keep their restaurant open to stay afloat.
And one of the chefs got cancer, and they were going to take out his entire his face so he couldn't taste or smell. And he said, "If that happens, I don't want to be here anymore."
That's life and death.
Yeah,
I got to make the best restaurant. If he fails as the big restaurant in Paris, he could open up another one somewhere and make plenty of money.
Tucson?
Probably. Yeah, Tucson or fucking Denver or, you know what I mean? Melbourne. You know, there's a lot of cities out there. You
gotta... Other options?
Yeah,
other options. Okay.
This is another, I will say, this is another very diversified weekend for films. So there is really everything from dramas to horror to kids' movies to movies that look unwatchable. So I really think there's something for everyone.
I think really, I see it a little differently. I see there's Steve Jobs and then a lot of other things that are getting in the way.
Well, you know, you might be seeing it more similarly.
Yeah, we're coming into Oscar season, right? Yeah. Is this the start of Oscar season?
Is it. We're in it.
Yep.
Okay.
In the thick. All right. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for having me on again. This is my second, my return trip.
Return trip.
Yes.
Yeah, we're on two.
Number two.
So I'm two out of 292? What number is this?
Not bad. Two out of 292. Yeah.
292. Uh-huh. Okay, so you'd only have 290 if it wasn't for me.
Pretty much,
that's
yes.
Absolutely correct.
Think how different your life would be if you only had...
Because if you weren't here, we would not have done the shows.
Right. If you only had 290 podcasts, think how different your life would be.
Really
it's a George Bailey moment.
We'd have to give money back for two Touch of Modern ads.
Yeah, the whole garage.
The whole thing. I don't want to say that I'm the key person in this whole endeavor, but
you know, I'm not wrong.
Yeah. For yeah. The reason.
The glue. All right, thanks, guys.
So, Wayne, where can people find you online?
Why don't you guess?
WayneFetterman.com.
Yes.
Yeah.
And at Fetterman.
At Fetterman.
All right.
That's enough, right?
So you can follow you on Twitter to get updates about Bones.
Yes, what happened with my Bones audition, which I'm heading to right now. Mm-hmm. And I also have my own pot. Oh, I'm also doing the Tonight Show. I'm doing the Tonight Show on the 4th of November. The 4th of November. So this will be out by then, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I'm doing doing a little stand-up. Still in the game.
Yeah, kick Bob and
Weave. You should still be in the game.
You know what I call sometimes my career? Like desperately clinging to the bumper of show business. Just the image of just being dragged. Like, I'm not letting go. I am.
That's all of us. Yeah. We're all just barely hanging on.
It's a big bumper.
It's a big bumper, yes.
So, I don't care how much gravel is.
It doesn't matter. Put a skateboard under your belly and just
ride it out.
Through it.
That all you got? It's tough.
All right. Well, that's our show, episode 292. In the books. Thank you to Wayne Fetterman for being on the program.
And for
two episodes of keeping us afloat.
Thank you.
We would have fallen off the bumper of show business had not Fetterman come into this garage twice.
Teaching us how to hang on.
Check out his album, The Chronicles of Fetterman.
We have one other announcement I wanted to make, too. We have our PodFest shirts are now available for sale. The Han Shot First one, as well as the ones where we're the two characters. You'll see them on the website.
That's like it's two new shirts that we made just for PodFest.
Yes, so
those are available.
So they're available now in the store, and they're really cool. Check them out. I don't know if we'll make them limited editions. Maybe
we might. We're not going to make that many of them, so come and get those. And as we said, guys, you just spend $20 once a year with us, and that keeps us clinging
keeps
to
us
the
going.
Bumper of show business.
Yes, it pays for another bumper.
All right, guys. So thank you so much for listening to the show. My name is Graham Elwood,
and I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.